You guys ready for a sermon? All right. We're continuing along in the book of Acts. We're going to be in Acts chapter 12 now. Acts chapter 12. So if you want to follow along in your Bible, that's where we're going to be. If not, I should have the scriptures. No, never mind. I don't have the scriptures. Computer. Don't you love technology? Okay, so we're old-fashioned today. We got to use our actual Bibles. So, or if you have it on your phone or tablet or however you want to get your scripture today, it's the same words, right? So let's open this morning service, or open our sermon with a prayer. Lord, I pray that you would reveal your truth to us today, that you would speak to our hearts through your word. Guide us to where you want us to go. Allow us to get the message that you have prepared for us. I thank you for Jesus and lift this prayer up in his name. Amen. All right, so we're in 12, and if you have a little header over it, it says, or mine says, Peter's miraculous escape from prison. That's like coming soon, you know, that kind of gets me amped up. Like, I know what happens, but how does it happen, you know, and it says miraculous, so I get a little bit excited. So at first, let's just start in one. It says, it was about this time, we don't know what time, but about this time, right, that King Herod, this is Herod Agrippa. Let me tell you just a little bit about King Herod Agrippa. King Herod Agrippa was the grandson of Herod the Great. And I think Herod Tetrarch was his uncle. Anyway, same lineage, right? Can you imagine, what if your grandpa's name was, like, let's just say my grandpa's name was Nathan. Nathan the Great. You got some shoes to fill, right? You got some big shoes to fill. So this is Herod Agrippa. His grandpa is Herod the Great. So Herod, King Herod arrested some who belonged to the church, intending to persecute them. He had James, the brother of John, put to death with the sword. This is, remember the sons of Zebedee, James and John, they followed Jesus around, sons of thunder. Their mom came to Jesus and said, hey, can my kids sit on the right and left of you in the kingdom? You know, he says, woman, you do not know what you ask me. That James, he put him to death by the sword. And what's interesting, I guess you need a little bit of context. You don't need it, but I'm going to give it to you anyhow. A little bit of context here with dying by the sword. In the Roman society, that meant you were a murderer. This was the punishment. You were either a murderer or an apostate. Apostate. You guys know what that is? Okay, basically they were not believing what Herod was believing. Okay? So put him to death for being an apostate. Or murderer. Whatever. They just make up it as they go. So he seized him, put him to death. Look at 3. When he saw that this pleased the Jews, he proceeded to seize Peter also. This happened during the Feast of Unleavened Bread, or yours may say Passover. And I want to talk a little bit about that. So he puts James to death. We don't know about the trial. We don't know anything about the arrest. We don't know what James was doing. All we know is he put him to death by the sword. And then what's it say? He saw that this pleased the Jews. He saw that this pleased the Jews. Made him happy. He's like, I'm all alone. I'm going to go get Peter. Peter's their obvious leader at this point, right? He's their obvious leader. He says, I'm going to get Peter, and I'm going to arrest him. So my question, I guess, was he pleasing man? Well, obviously, he was. Because he saw that it pleased the Jews, so then he decided, I'm going to arrest Peter as well. And how often in our lives do we do something and we see that it pleases someone else? So we're like, you like that? Watch this. I can one-up that, right? Because we live in a world where we one-up one another. You know what I mean. You've been sitting around a campfire telling a story, and someone's like, you like that? Well, I did this. And then, really? I did that in like 6th grade. Let me tell you about, you know what I mean? And it just keeps going and going and going, right? So I can't help but think, why does Herod care if the Jews are happy? Well, I'll tell you why. He wasn't a very popular king. See, Mr. Agrippa here was not liked even by his own people, which is why he is where he is at this time. And so he's trying to get a following, no matter who it is. So now he picks the Jews, because he realizes that the Jews, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, manipulate their people or control their people. So he decides, if I can make them happy, if I can get them on board, then I can control this whole people group. So he arrests Peter. We're going to look at a little bit about that. After arresting him, we're at four now, he put him in prison, handing him over to be guarded by four squads of four soldiers each. Four squads of four soldiers, 16 people guarding little old Peter. 16 people. And he intended to bring him out for public trial after the Passover. So Peter was kept in prison, but the church was earnestly praying to God for him. The night before Herod was to bring him to trial, Peter was sleeping. The night before before Herod was going to bring him to trial, right? Let's talk about this for a second. You remember what happened to James? Off with his head. The night before Herod's going to bring Peter to trial, he's sleeping. You guys ever had a big event coming up the next day and you can't sleep? You know, you're like, wow, so either excited or nervous or scared or whatever your emotion is, but it just keeps you from sleeping, keeps you awake all night long, right? I talked to someone today, their child's going to camp, and they were pretty excited. They didn't get to sleep last night because they were so excited about camp. Right, so just think about that. But this time, it's a foreboding. You know, Peter's—he's a dead man walking or sleeping. Right, he's just sleeping. He's just laying there. That tells me his faith in the Lord gave him so much peace that he could rest in the storm. He could rest in the unknown. I hate the unknown. I can't stand the unknown. Why? Because I don't know it, and if you don't know it, you can't control it. He knows it. So it takes a lot of faith in him, right? Peter's asleep. He's asleep. Let's see, where was I? Okay, I was still in six. He was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, not the wrapper, and sentries stood guard at the entrance. 16 people took shifts watching this one guy, and now he is bound by two chains to two people. So I got to picture him. This wasn't planned, but okay, the sentries are not going to lay down next to Peter. If they do, they're just weird, right? I just don't think they're going to take their swords and all that and just lay down next to Peter. So I got to picture Peter like this, right? Because he's bound, right, by two chains. I love this vision. This tells me that he is submissive. He's on his knees. He had to be, right? I can't imagine being able to lay down. I don't think they let him lay down. Why would they let him lay down? He'd be too comfortable laying down. He's on his knees and he's got his arms up next to these men in a praising position. And he's asleep. Why? Because he had the faith to know whatever happened, God was going to take care of him. Whatever happened, you ever meet one of those sick people, or you know they get the bad news at the doctor, like, hey, listen, you got like X amount of days, months, years to live. You ever meet them? And they're just like, okay, I'm ready, I'm at peace. Those people blow my mind because it's easy to preach. It sounds really good to preach. Trust in God. Doctors don't matter. God's in control. But when they face you with that undeniable truth, that faith that it takes. Peter was faced with an undeniable truth that he was going to die the next day. And he's sleeping. And I wonder, what are the chains? What are our chains? What bind us? You know, what? It could be an addiction, or it could be, I don't know, some people are bound by their finances, good or bad. You know, they won't make a decision based on faith. They'll make a decision based on, can I afford it? Or based on, how much is this going to cost me? Right? So I wonder what binds us? What holds us back? What chains do we have wrapped around us? What sentries are standing next to us? And are we able to break those chains? Suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared. I'm in seven now. An angel of the Lord appeared, and light shone in the cell. He struck Peter on the side and woke him up. I love it. I love when angels appear. Struck him on the side. Get up, he said. And the chains fell off Peter's wrist. Then the angel said to him, put on your clothes and sandals. And Peter did so. Wrap your cloak around you and follow me. Peter followed him out of the prison, but he had no idea what the angel was doing was really happening. He thought he was seeing a vision. They passed the first and second guards, came to the iron gate leading to the city. It opened by itself, and they went through it. When they had walked the length of one street, the angel left. The angel left. Hey, look, we got scriptures. This is so neat. So Peter, you know, he's groggy. He just gets woke up. Something hit him on the side. He wakes up. And the angel says, put your clothes on. We're leaving. So he's like, okay. You know, it's like waking your kids up for church. Fine, I'm getting dressed. Right? So he gets dressed. And he gets out. And he's like, follow me. So he's following him. He's like, that guard should be stopping us. He's not. This one should stop us. He's not at the gate. Wow. It's like going to Walmart. It just opened. How's it know I was there? It just opened. And then here they come. And he takes them down one street away from the prison. One street. And then the angel's gone. I would want to talk to the angel if I'm Peter. Hey, wait, where are we going? Why is this happening? You know, and Peter didn't even come to his senses while the angel was still with him. And the angel leaves him. And God will do that to you. God will break your chains for you. If you allow him, he'll break your chains. He will lead you away from whatever is binding you. And then he will say, okay, now where are you going? What are you going to do? I got you through this one. How are you going to proceed? Right? It's amazing that God can break our chains through just his miracles. This angel showed up, and I told you before, I'm jealous of the angels. I haven't seen one. Really mad about it. Tell them all the time. Hey, God, could you just send me a messenger? Really want one of those, like, greetings! Do not be afraid, because I'm hitting the floor when that happens. Right? Do not be afraid. All right. Look at 11. Then Peter came to himself and said, now I know without a doubt that the Lord sent his angel and rescued me from Herod's clutches and from everything the Jewish people were anticipating. See what Satan had used for bad, God had used for good. The Jews were looking forward to this death. And he says, watch this. And I wanted to ask you, I meant to talk to you about the chains a little more. Do you guys think those precautions were a little bit excessive? Put them in two chains, had 16 people watching them. Well, if you remember in chapter 5, all of the apostles disappeared from the public prison. Right, so I'm sure Herod has heard about this and he's like, oh, I'm holding these guys here, right? So that's why he took that precaution. So when it dawned on him, I'm in 12. When it dawned on him, he went to the house of Mary, the mother of John, also called Mark, not the gospel writer Mark, where many people had gathered and were praying. Peter knocked at the outer entrance, and a servant girl named Rhoda came to answer the door. When she recognized Peter's voice, she was so overjoyed, she ran back without opening it and exclaimed, Peter is at the door. Peter's at the door. Look at 15. You're out of your mind. Right? Isn't that a proper response? Dude, did you not see the 16 people? Remember, he was chained up. Two chains, little guys. Remember that? Peter is not at our door. You're out of your mind. They told her, and she kept insisting that it was so. They said, It must be his angel, thinking, well, maybe they've already killed Peter, and now his spirit's here. It must be his angel that's here. But Peter kept on knocking, and when they opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. They were astonished. Can we go back to 5 real quick? Peter was kept in prison, but the church was earnestly praying to God for him. 11 verses later, they were astonished he was at the door. The church kept praying for him, and then now here he is. And that somehow is astonishing for them. You guys ever pray for something and God gives it to you? And you're like, huh, that shouldn't have happened. How did that happen? Where did that come from? The church was earnestly praying for him, and then yet they're astonished when he shows up. I didn't plan with Adam to talk about prayer. I asked him if he needed help. He said, no, fine. I want to help you anyway. I'm teasing. But didn't he do a good job? All right? So I thought it was neat that I talked about prayer. He's talking about prayer. What is your prayer life like? And mine is a very specific. I talk to God like he is my best friend. And I talk to God like he is my king. And I talk to God like I'm talking to you. You know, and if I know he's doing something, or if I need him to do something, I will pray in a very specific way. And I learned to do that from our friend Joshua. Right? He was chasing some folks for the Lord, and he said, God, I need the sun to stand still. I need you to stop the sun. I can't chase them in the night. I need the sun to stand still. And it did. And it did. And it doesn't say Joshua was astonished that the sun stood still. It doesn't say that. Don't be astonished when you petition to our Lord and he gives to you what you ask for. Careful what you ask for. If you ask for patience, you're going to get it. You're not going to like it. I pray for people that pray for patience. Because he's already given me patience. And maybe that's not it. Maybe you pray for healing. And in that healing, that means you've got to separate yourself from some people that are detrimental to your lives. Or, you know, maybe you pray for a specific addiction. And then you got to go through the withdrawals that come through that. And I'm not just talking about drugs. I'm talking about there are lots of types of addictions. And there are lots of types of withdrawals that you would have to go through. So be careful what you pray for, but be specific in what you pray for. And do not be astonished when God does it. Don't limit him. I got a verse on my phone because I'm lazy that I'm going to read to you. Ephesians 3:20 says, "Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine." All we ask or imagine. He can do immeasurably more than that. According to his power that is at work within us. That's the God we pray to. That's the God we petition. This God is able to do immeasurably more than anything you can ask or imagine. Anything. So let him wow you that way. Be astonished that way. Don't be astonished when he says yes to your prayer. Don't be astonished when he says not right now to your prayer. And don't be astonished when he says, I have a better way for you. You know, my point is, some people think their prayers didn't get answered because they didn't go the way they wanted them to. But I would tell you that your prayers all are heard and answered. You may not like the answer, though. And at this time when we're reading, they should have loved the answer. They were just kind of freaked out by it. All right. So 17, he's there, they're astonished. 17, Peter motioned with his hand for them to be quiet. It's like, shh, I just broke out of jail, y'all. Drawing so much attention to us. And he described how the Lord had brought him out of prison. Tell James and the brothers, not the dead James, Jesus' brother James and the brothers about this, he said. And then he left for another place. So Peter was there for a moment. He says, tell everybody what happened. I got to go. They're chasing me. Excuse me. In the morning, there was no small commotion. Verse 18. There was no small commotion among the soldiers as to what had become of Peter. I bet they're kind of tired of hearing about this. Like, dude, this guy's always getting out of jail. I was in charge, kill him as soon as we got him. Right? I can just hear low-level security just fussing. Anyhow, after Herod had a thorough search made for him and did not find him, he cross-examined the guards and ordered them to be executed. It's got to be someone's fault. And it's surely not going to be Herod's, right? It's got to be someone's fault. Someone let them out. Cross-examined them. Off with their heads. So then Herod, probably not being as popular because he lost Peter, went from Judea to Caesarea and stayed there a while. So Herod, you remember I told you he wasn't real popular anyhow, and now he just kind of lost the Jewish favor because, yeah, you killed James, good job, but you missed Peter. You let Peter go. So now he left Judea and he's headed to Caesarea. He's almost in hiding, but he's a king, so he can't really hide very much, right? So he shows up, in Caesarea. And he had been quarreling, this 20, with the people of Tyre and Sidon. They now joined together and sought an audience with him. So the people he's kind of quarreling with, they all joined together. I need to have chat. Having secured the support of Blastus, a trusted personal servant of the king, they asked for peace because they depended on the king's country for their food supply. They come to the king and they're like, look, we just need to get rid of all this. Okay, I depend on you. You depend on us, whether you like it or not. We need to have peace and we need to have joy. Okay, so let's just have a good time. Bygones be bygones. Tell us what he said, but I'm going to articulate that he might have said no. They said, hey, we need peace, and I think he might have said, I don't think so. I'm the king. You don't tell me what to do. I do what I want to do. And so they said to him, they shouted, this is the voice of a god, not a man. Immediately, because Herod did not give praise to God, an angel of the Lord struck him down. And he was eaten by worms and died. I love telling the story to kids. He was eaten by worms and died. Why? Because he didn't praise God. I get real Baptist on you real quick on this one. You can say God, honey. God. Right? He didn't praise God. God had enough and struck him down. Are you praising God? Are you praising God through your current season? Are you praising God through your current situation? Are you in chains right now, bound to something? Are you praising God? I'm not going to tell you that if you're not, he's going to strike you down. I'm not him. I don't know what he's going to do. Everybody say, thank you for not letting Nathan be God. Say it. Thank you for not letting Nathan be God. Because I tell you what, I'd be like, I'm teasing you. Right, but we're just men. We're just men and women. We can't be God. We can't assume to be God. And the authority that Herod had, whether we like it or not, he was there for a reason. He was there for a purpose. And I don't like the bad kings, but there was a purpose behind it. And maybe one day he'll reveal it to me. But all I know is he used it to kind of get the people in line. So he was eaten by worms, 24. But the word of God continued to increase and spread. When Barnabas and Saul had finished their mission, they returned from Jerusalem, taking with them John, also called Mark. So Herod's dead. Paul and Barnabas, so you know they came from one mission. They took John Mark and they said, hey, let's go. We're going to go somewhere else. So they're going to continue on their missions. We're going to pick that up in a few weeks. But I want you to know that no matter what, God is with you. No matter what, God loves you. You think God didn't love Herod? Think God didn't want the best for Herod? You think God let Herod pick? God lets you pick. God loves you. But you have a choice. Do you want to love Him back? And through that loving Him back, what's that look like for you? You know, how far are you willing to go to love Him back? Are you willing to be Peter in a jail cell? Sleeping before your execution? Are you willing to be Paul or Barnabas? They went on missions. They went and told people about Him. Are you willing to be, you remember Stephen? Stephen was to take care of people. Are you willing to be that? I guess in your calling, in your personal calling, are you willing to say yes? Are you willing to answer that call? Are you willing to go the distance? Are you willing to be completely obedient even when it's so uncomfortable? God will take you to where it's just a little bit uncomfortable because He wants to see how you respond. Can you imagine? I just try to be Peter all the time. Can you imagine Peter standing in the middle of the street like, that was an angel. An angel just let me go. All right, well, I got to get out of here. They're coming, you know? I can't imagine. Can't imagine the faith that it took for him to have the peace that he had to sleep. I can't imagine the faith that it took to keep going after Acts chapter 3 or 4 or 5. I can't imagine what it took for these apostles to say in the face of persecution, of real persecution, of the promise of death, to keep going with the gospel. To have such a belief, to believe in something so much that you're willing to spread it at all costs. That's faith. And you get it a couple ways, and one of them is through your prayer life. You know, God is not this judge. I'm going to debunk a whole lot of Christianity real quick. God's not sitting on His throne with a giant scepter waiting for you to mess up and just like zap you down. He's not going to smite you, right? He doesn't have this running tally. Well, it was July 15th, if you recall, 2016. You've did this, right? Do you recall making that? If not, we could play the highlight reel. No, God doesn't do that. God doesn't do that. Why? Because He gave us His Son. And His Son said, I will take your sins and throw them as far as the east is from the west. He says, I will die for your sins because our sins keep us from coming to God. Our sins keep us from the God. The same God that had the power to send an angel to break a dude out of prison and go past these centuries without him seeing, had the same power for His Son to die and lift Him up and resurrect Him on the third day. Can you put your faith in that God? In that powerful being? In that Father that loves you? Can you do that for me? I'm just asking today, where's your faith and how do we get it to the next step? Because that's what it's all about. It's taking our next steps. Not staying here. Not staying still. But taking that step of faith. Take the next step. See what God does. Ask Him, God, where do you want me to go? How do you want me to get there? And then listen. And don't be astonished when He puts someone in your life and they say, hey, I'm going over here. You want to go? Yeah? Yeah, I guess. I don't know. Right? Just go. Just go. Just do it. Just do it. And watch the blessing that comes from being obedient. All right. I'm going to close this out in prayer. So if you would, bow your head and pray with me. Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you for a chance to come and praise and worship you today. I pray, Lord, that as we try to grow closer to you, that our relationship would deepen, that our prayer life would deepen, that we would get to know you better and in turn look like you more. I pray for our community as we attempt to affect it, as we attempt to impact it for you. I pray that they would be receptive. I pray that we're able to lead people to you and to your Son. to his salvation and grace. And it's in his name we pray. Amen. All right, I'm going to have the praise team come up. We're going to sing another praise song. I'm flying solo as far as elders are concerned today, so I'll be down here to pray with you. Les, I forgot to tell you guys, Les is being a Gideon at another church today. Yeah, he'll be back. And so I'll be down here to pray for you, pray with you, here to lift you up. So if you guys would stand and sing this last song with us.